International for you next, Store. And what a powerful name that is. And the name of Jesus Christ. And we're worshiping him this morning. Grab your Bibles, please, the book of Matthew. We'll be finishing off chapter 6 this morning. Lord willing, as we look at continuing the words of Christ, especially here, the Sermon on the Mount, and we've seen that Christ has really challenged us in the idea of not just going through the motions, but truly that we serve him from the heart. And the Lord is more concerned over our heart than our actions. And then what I mean by that hopefully our actions changed because our heart changed. But God wants to change us from the inside out. And we see this laid out. And Jesus turns the dialogue here just a little bit more, because then he talks about the idea of your heart and serving him and worshiping him from your heart and that form of a relationship. And then he gets kind of real practical, I think. And I think when push comes to shove, we need a faith that is practical in the real world. Right? What does this look like? And I think sometimes it's easy for pastors or preachers to get sort of the big picture. And here's the theology. And if you're sat and listen to a preacher or a teacher, and he uses a lot of big words, a lot of things kind of float up here, and you're kind of like, wow, that was good, but I need something I can stick in my pocket and bring home, right? How do I apply this to our lives? And I think that the challenge for Christians is, how do we take this knowledge and apply it to our lives? And how does it show up? What does that really look like? And Jesus starts talking here. He starts the idea of worry, of being fretful. And how about you? But I've battled with that a little bit over the years. And some of you, I won't ask for a show of hands this morning, but some of you are more prone to worry than others. Right? I always kind of said, if you worry that you worry too much, you probably do. Right? Ask yourself that. And some people are more geared towards that. Right? And so you got to be a little more extra cautious in some of your areas of your life as we look at this up. But we need to remember, as we come to the Lord, we talk the idea of prayer, and just a few verses prior to where we are this morning, Jesus said this: therefore do not be like them, talking about the heathens, talking about the unsaved, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And that is a biblical truth. That, look, God knows. Is that true? Amen? Does God know what your need is? Yes, he does. Now, do you believe that? I hope so. And we start laying these things out. How does that practically fall into our lives? Philippians, Paul says this. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will take care of you. He will provide for you. And I can't help but think, because like I said, by nature, I'm really not a worrier. And my wife will remind me, probably because I'm not much of a planner. I don't think too far down the future. Sometimes that's really gotten me in trouble. I don't think of the consequences for everything. My wife is a much more detailed person. So, she'll say, hey, this is coming up. Have you thought about this and this and this? I was like, no, the other day she's asking me about Christmas and I'm like, I got Hometown Heroes, I got, the Nativity. Christmas isn't even on my radar yet. And so maybe I'm just too simple of a man to worry too much over things. Now panic's another thing, because all of a sudden all these things that I haven't thought about, all of a sudden now they're due. All right? So maybe I'm more of a panicker than I am a worrier, just because how far down the road I look. But these truths are so solid that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I want more, because there's out there, there are preachers and churches that are saying, look, that God wants you to be rich and God wants you to have total health. If you just have enough faith, all these things, and we're called to this super abundant life. And I think the problem is that it always doesn't pan out that way. Right? When you look at God says, I'll supply all your needs, that is not a promise of guaranteed wealth and health and prosperity. It's not. But it tells us that God will take care of us. And that's the nugget of faith that we need to hang on to. My God will take care of me. And to kind of put that to the test, Jesus brings out, and he brings out really sort of three areas in our lives, real practical areas that we say, hey, does this kind of apply? One, do we worry about what we eat? Where's my next meal coming from? The other day, I went through McDonald's. And I ordered, I don't know if you've been through McDonald's recently. You almost got to take out a small loan to get something. I'm like, you know, because I always thought, you know, McDonald's is a quick, fast, cheap food. You can go to Governor's and get a full meal for the price now of, I don't even know if I want to call it a happy meal anymore. I wasn't too happy paying for it. Well, like, ooh. Actually, I went through, the lady said, this is your total. And I'm like, no, can you read back what I got? I just ordered something really simple. It's just like, you know, like, wow, right? Go to the store and look at the price of everything. It's like, maybe I am a worrier. What was I looking at? But it's like, oh, man, how's this going to work? You know, things get too much worse. You know, we'll just have to take, you know, eat every third day. We'll just take rotations in the family. I don't know what's going to, you know, it's like, oh, how's this going to work? Oh, wow. Do I trust my God shall supply all my needs? Do I worry? The Bible talks about what you wear. Right? You know, I think of especially those who have families, you know, kids growing up where every 6 months you're buying the next size up. You know? At my age, I buy the next size out. I'm not buying the next size up. Do I worry about that? Or what's the latest fashion or style? Actually, I got a compliment this morning. I said, Pastor, you look dapper. I was like, ooh. I even got a little extra dog hair. You know, I mean, I was like, do I worry about that? Do I fret over that? Do I worry about what I'm worth? What's my value before God? And Jesus brings these things up, and he brings them and reassures us in our lives. And to check all these boxes of these areas, and these are areas of where my God shall supply, and right, this idea of contentment in what I have. And Paul tells us, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain that we can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. So it's interesting because when we start looking at what I need, you know, I have a lot of wants. I don't have a whole lot of needs because they're taken care of. And I think sometimes in our lives we need to know the difference between the two. Don't you? And I think sometimes if you're here this morning, you say, well, God has not provided for me. I would ask you, are you asking for? Now, don't get me wrong. God is good, and God has given me more than what I need. I mean, just look at me. I have more than enough food. Yeah, I'm not wasting away. God has taken care of me. And what I have is enough because it's from his hand. I need to be grateful for that. You know, Christmas is coming up, and we encourage our daughter to make a little list of all the things that she wants. And as a loving father, I want to provide some of those things. And some things are just ain't going to happen for various reasons. I know even when I was a kid, oftentimes I would be ungrateful for the things that God, you know, what my parents provided for me. And looking back, I can see, you know what, they always provided. And kudos to my stepfather, who was a man who worked hard to take care of kids that weren't his own. We didn't always have the best. We were a family that had, the Hydrox and not the Oreos. We always had the Fruity Loopies instead of the Fruit Loop cereals. But looking back, oftentimes I was a spoiled little brat sometimes of not being content with what was given to me. And it's so easy to get caught up because, the latest, greatest and what's pushed out there. We need to promote. We need to upgrade. We need the best. Or we're left behind. And as Christians, we've got to be cautious of falling into that trap. Jesus starts here in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? It says, look to the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they?" And Jesus starts off talking about what we eat and what we drink and how we live our lives. And what he points to, he says, look a minute, don't you realize that your heavenly Father takes care of them, and is he going to take care of you? God, our heavenly Father. Now, as I know, it's no wonder that we have Satan attacking fathers in our society. They're not around. They're not active, and we're told they're not important, and the Bible is just so clear on the role of fathers and the need for them in a child's life. That's a whole different sermon. But God, our Heavenly Father, knows us. And as a loving father, I want to give good things to my children, and so I will provide for them. And so much so, God, our Heavenly Father, will take care of us and what we feed, what we eat, or what we drink. And what worry does, that worry robs us of that relationship we have with God. It robs us of that because we turn around and what happens is I start worrying about what's on my plate or what's on my body or what's in my dresser. I start looking and focusing on those things. And when I do that, when I take my eyes on those, I take it off God. And I focus more on what I don't have and become ungrateful than what God has given us. And folks, God is our loving Father. Romans tells us this. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Abba is the Greek term for daddy. This is daddy. He's our loving Father, and he knows what we need. And what we need to do is look at what we have and be thankful for what we have. Focusing on what we don't have. Then when we turn around and worry sometimes that the fridge isn't quite so full as I would like. When I got the holes in my sock, I need to turn around and say, God, this is my need and you will take care. Peter tells us this, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And what worry does is take us to a position now where we don't think God cares. God, don't you know? And I rest assured, God does know. And he will take care of you. And so when worry starts setting in, turn to the Father. And God, I know you take care of the birds and the squirrels, and I know you take care of all those, and I know you will take care of me. I will trust in you. Jesus picks this up and says, "And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" Let me ask you, how profitable is worry? Not much at all. Now, there's a difference between worrying and planning, right? Because planning is proactive. Right? If I turn around and I'm in the store and I see something on sale, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll pick up a few extra. Right? That actually, Proverbs 6 tells us to look to the ant who took care of things and prepared things beforehand. That's not what we're talking about here. Worry is an exercise of worrying is the activity where it becomes the thing and not an action. Actually, they've done studies that talk about the idea of stress. And it's funny, they looked at a corporation, and they looked at sort of the low man on the totem pole, they looked at the middle management, and they looked at the executives. And they say, okay, which one has more stress related? And what they found was the executives on top didn't have, they had pressures, but they didn't have the stress that eats you up, because they found was they just told other people to do things. They saw a problem, they had the power and the authority to get something done, right? And they looked at those who were on the bottom rung. They didn't have all the responsibilities, and they were so busy doing things. And they said, look, they had pressures, but the stress that kind of eats you up but gives you heart attacks and ulcers didn't exist so much down in those groups because they were so busy doing. The group that they found that had the most stress was the ones in the middle, because they had the responsibilities. They weren't the one actually doing it, but they didn't have necessarily the authority to get it done. So they're in the middle. And what happens, you end up just sitting there and spinning. You ever find yourself in that? Right? There's nothing you can do. And you just sit there. And your stomach churns. And the blood pressure gets high. And you overcome with what? Worry. Let me ask you something. What does that do? Nothing. See, worry turns around, especially on things that you cannot change. And you know what? There's so much in our lives that I have no power over. And it robs me of my peace when I'm eaten up by worry. You know, it's funny because I started off saying, well, I'm really not much of a worrier. But actually, it's probably a little bit of a lie, because if I sit down and watch the news, the headache starts up a little bit, the blood pressure goes up a little bit, and I look at all the situations around the world, and there's so much that I have no control over. Right? And it'll eat me up. Actually, the other day, I turned around and called our representative, and I had some questions, because it was just bottled up on me. I got to do something. And I picked up and called and tried to get some answers on some different stances and then all that, because it was just starting to eat me up. And I found, you know, if I watch the news too much, if I listen to negative people too much, that just robs me of my peace. Instead of enjoying what the Lord has given me here and now. You know, instead of looking down the road and looking at things that I can't control, Lord, help me be thankful for what I have. And Lord, help me be active in the things I can do. One of the Proverbs I just love talks about a lazy man. The lazy man says, oh, there's a lion in the street. Basically, he says, I can't go out today because there's a lion out there somewhere, so I can't go out there. Right? We make all these excuses of what we can't do. And we worry and fret over things that may or may not even happen. And we lose our peace. And we lose our joy in the Lord. And I turn around and come back to him in all these things. Isaiah says it perfectly here. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. See, one of the solutions for worry is trust. Because when I worry, it's because I'm not trusting. You know, does God really know what he's doing? Or maybe God didn't see it, right? Because I found myself at times in my life saying, hey, God, look over here. Do you see this? Do you see what's going on? No? because it doesn't seem like he's working. He doesn't know he's doing anything. And I just eat myself up over that instead of saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And Lord, help me be thankful for what you've given me. Help me be content in all these things. Because when I fall into an idea of being a chronic worrier, what happens is we substitute that for action. Let me tell you something. Worrying is the opposite of action. Right? Worrying, I can't grow any. I can't add anything. There's certain things in my life I can't change. If I find myself spinning my wheels over something I can't do anything about, that's just going to eat me up, isn't it? But instead, you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? If I'm so busy doing what God wants me to do, I don't have time to worry about things that I have no control over. Right? Lord, help me to do what I can do. And Lord, help me be faithful to you. Because all these things, we can have peace in the middle of this. The Apostle Paul said this, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, folks, in this, the peace of God should not be dependent upon our circumstances. Because God is greater than our circumstances. Amen? Do you believe that? God is greater than our circumstances. And nothing is bigger and stronger. Nothing catches God off guard. And God keeps his promises. And all these things become the remedy that gives us peace and turns us from worry. Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 6. It says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. Neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? For these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Can I tell you something? Worry will rob you of your faith. Worry will rob you of your faith. All the woulda, coulda, shouldas in your life. Right? All the things that you may kind of think might happen down the road. And folks, it causes us to doubt, does God care? Is he there? And worry robs us of our faith. You know, Jesus said, look at the grass and the lilies, how God takes care of all those. And those things have no value. Aren't you more valuable than that? Think about that. Think of our faith tells us that God values you so much. This morning we did communion. He died for you. That's how much he cares for you. Can I tell you something? God hasn't brought you this far to abandon you. He hasn't. God is working in your life to bring you to this point right now, and he will care for you, and he will see you through. Our God is faithful. Amen? What do you have to worry about? Paul reminds us here. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness nor peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, what worry does is it interjects itself. It separates us from the love of God. Does God really care? Does he even see me? Does he even know? That's what worry says. But we're told the scriptures that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what situation we're in, God knows and he cares. And he can use these things to build our faith. God has not brought you this far to abandon you. You have nothing to worry about. God's power has not run out. His hand is not short in reaching out to you. I'll give you some final thoughts to encourage you in these areas in our lives. Sort of a cure for worry. Turn around, Matthew says, Jesus continues on and finishes up, says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When worry starts to set in, look up. When the cares of this world start closing in on you, turn your eyes on spiritual things. Because this world is all temporary. There's going to be a day, folks, when we stand before the Lord and all the cares of this world will be gone. Right? All the things that we worry about, what we fret over, are all temporary here of this world. And they'll be gone. But Christ and his love for us endures forever. Jesus therefore goes on and says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. And suffice it for today, its own trouble. Lord, help me just be faithful today. I worked with a guy who was reading a book, and he was all excited about this book, talking about taking control of your life. And we're working together, and he's a good Christian guy. And he goes, oh, I've been so challenged by this book. He goes, starting tomorrow, I'm tired of life happening to me. He goes, I'm going to happen to life. I'm taking control of all that happens in my life, starting tomorrow. We showed up at work that day, and about lunchtime, and we had an opportunity to talk. I said, so how's that going? He goes, I've given up already. He goes, I woke up this morning and said, okay, I'm in charge of my life. And he goes, started going through, the car didn't start this morning. One of the kids was sick. And he went through all this list already within just a 12-hour period in which he had no control over anything at all. But see, the solution isn't worry. It's, Lord, just help me one day at a time. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, help me just take care of, give me the strength for today. You know, so many times I've involved, I know even with my own family, and you get the phone call and a relative or something's going on and someone's in the hospital. And they're like, we don't know all what's going on, but and I love this now because doctors got to be full disclosure. So they give you all the options of what could be wrong, right? And you hear this list of things that this is all that can go, it could be. It could be all these things. And oh no, what if it's, right? And it's like, oh, it's going to eat you up. And, you know, and it's like, whoa, what do I know? And Lord, help me focus on what I know. And if it's something else, Lord will give me that strength when I need it. Right? Worry comes in and you start trying to figure out all the what ifs of scenarios that may never happen. Some of these things may never, ever pan out. And you've wasted time and energy and things that will never happen. But Lord, help me today. The deal was on my plate. There was an old proverb I heard as a little kid, and it really stuck with me. I have no idea where it's from. He goes, life by the yard is hard, but life by the inch is a cinch. Right? If I take too much, worry can set in. But Lord, help me just take one step. And I've done that in our lives. I've been so overwhelmed where I'm like, Lord, I just need the strength to make it just one more step. And he does. And next thing you know, you look back, I can't believe how far God's brought me. One day at a time. It's an old song that says that. Right? One day at a time. I won't burst into song this morning. I won't torture you with that. But in here, be proactive in our lives. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let requests be made unto God. When worry sets in, when anxiety comes in, pray. Lay it down at the Master's feet. Come to your father and say, Dad, this is too much for me. And lay it down at him, knowing that he will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. God will take care of you. Trust in him, and he will see you through. I'm going to leave you with just one more verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust him. And trust will conquer worry, because our God is faithful. Let's pray. Really follow, Lord. Help us to be strengthened in our walk with you. Lord, you will take care of all our needs. And Lord, you are gracious, and oftentimes you take care of our wants as well. But Lord, help us to be content with what you give us. Help us be faithful in the task that you laid down before us, knowing you care for us. Take away the worry. Take away the anxiety. Replace it with your peace and your faith. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.